chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Ready? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. In righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Let us pray. Thank you, Holy Father, for Jesus, for the work of the Spirit, for the ministry of the Holy Angel. We know all is well because you are with us this day. Amen. Relive the momentum is our topic for today. Relive the momentum. Over one half millennia ago, a man named Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, became a reformer and left his mark indelibly on religious history. Yes, history tells us that this reformer, who loved his church, saw some things happening in his church of which he disagreed. He therefore began to ask questions. Before I go any further, I want to tell you I'm not here to praise Martin Luther, but to uplift Jesus and what he did through the servant, Martin Luther. He began to ask, why do I have to pay for indulgences? Why must I climb stairs? Why must I kiss the feet of St. Peter? When will my church stop asking for money to get my loved ones and my friends out of purgatory? As you can imagine, reformer Luther meant well, but he was met with a lot of opposition. In his time and to his superiors, he should have known his place and must not get out of it. He was a monk, but he was an avid reader of the scripture, and he loved his Bible. History tells us the more he read, the more questions he had. And because so many things he read disagreed with what he was doing, he had questions. And when the questions were not answered, he gathered them up and nailed them on the door of the church, so history tells us. Well, his church wanted him to stop asking so many questions. Go with the flow. You should never, they said, question your church. You should accept what is taught, and you need not read the Bible because we wrote the Bible. And the church supersedes what has been written therein. This reformer was not satisfied, and he found an audience that agreed with him and with his 95 theses, as they were called. Sisters and brothers, we did not hear much about the 500th celebratory anniversary in October about this reformer. And I noticed around Baton Rouge and around the world, there were ecumenical services, some Lutheran remembrances, and lots of printed materials. Yet, it is time for us to relive the momentum that he had. Our own Seventh-day Adventist denomination sent out to the schools a pamphlet for children to learn what happened and why was there a Protestant Reformation? So I took a poll. I asked my 20 or so students, how many of you are Protestant? And guess what they said? Huh? Protestant? I said, yes. So I wrote the word on the board and someone said, oh, Protestant. And then I wrote the word Protestant Reformation. And one person said, I'm not Protestant. I said, well, where do you fellowship? And they start saying, well, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Baptist, I'm, you know, and on and on and on. Well, take this home. Your homework assignment is ask your parents the same two questions. Are you Protestant? And what is the Protestant Reformation? Well, as it usually is these days, one person came back with the assignment. She told me, my mother said she has never heard of Protestant. And she doesn't know what the Protestant Reformation was all about. So I took the literature that was sent to me from the Review and Herald, the GC, and introduced to the upper grade students this new term and the main reformer of the event. I showed them a little video that gave information about it. And I do hope they will remember something, because the Reformation was the main event of the 16th century. And this event was such as a world war for the religious community during that century. And it had wide significance and historical significance. And it changed the world. It changed the religious community. And it was Jesus focused. We are Christians. And for those of us who are and know about the Reformation and what happened as a result, we can watch certain events unfolding that impact the Christian community even today. You see, 57% of the world is Protestant. But to some Christians, a lot of Christians, I should say, it does not matter where you go to church or what's your religion or what you believe. And that doesn't matter anymore. That's old stuff. But it does matter. You see, some are just saying, let's have unity, one church. All of us believe the same thing. And it, really, if you look at it, the two, the Protestants and the Catholics, do have similar views today. Huh. But that doesn't mean we are all together and we should be unified and have one church. While Luther had his 95 theses, they said, were nailed on the church door. I just want to mention a few that he said. Yes, to me as I read, some of these made sense. One, he said, one that I wrote, he said, why can't we use the Bible? And the Bible only for the sole authority for doctrine. It was called sola scriptura. Christ's death fully satisfied the penalty of sin, not indulgences. As we read the Holy Word, the Protestant mantra became justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. We need to relive this momentum. Then He said, I like this one, get the message out. Get it out to the people. Let them read the Bible for themselves and find out what God wants them to do. And speak of his grace. Oh my. Speak, tell your testimony. Witness for Christ. Let everyone know who Jesus is. And you know what? The reformer, I'm going to say reformer because I don't want to keep mentioning his name. The reformer could have been called the Donald Trump of his day because he created the first viral media campaign of the 16th century. He used the Gutenberg press, which you've heard of, and he got the Bible message out. He circulated it in the villages and then the towns, in the hamlets and everywhere, and eventually to the new world. That's us, to the new world. He loved God, and God used him as a vessel to keep the momentum going. Now, there's another one I liked. He said, let the people sing. I like that. Congregational song. Not just the clergy with the, what is it called, Gregorian chants. Not just the clergy. Let the people sing with meaning. For the emotional power of music is great, isn't it? It's an opportunity for ordinary people to engage their faith. And he himself wrote a beautiful song, A Mighty Fortress. Is our God a bulwark never failing? Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal life prevailing. Oh my. Perhaps, just perhaps, he knew that he was going to have a lot of trials and tribulations because he had these questions. So his last verse said, that word alone. All earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him with us sided. Let goods and kindred go. In other words, if they don't agree with you, keep going. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, but Christ's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. That's wonderful. You see, music is the chief worship. And when we sing songs, we glorify God. And many have come to love Jesus because of music. All right? Have you ever sung, How Great Thou Art? And Jesus saves. Jesus saves. To the utmost. Jesus saves. Isn't that wonderful? And then my mother used to sing, he's everything you need. Come rain or come shine. He walks and he talks with me all of the time. He tells me I'm his own. I'm never left alone. I am so glad to know he's all I need. Isn't that wonderful? And then I wrote another one that was listed. He empowered women. Uh-oh. The Reformation empowered women, and it said, slowly. Before the Reformation, women were regarded, now this is the 16th century, as inferior creations and worse. These preconceptions began to shift after the Reformation started. And the women, and the women started to assume church roles, which was a wonderful, good thing. Now, you know, this week, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, March 8th, was Women International History Week. And I was glad to hear that because our beloved Jimmy Carter did that when he was in office. Yes, let the women use their gifts for God. Let the women work for God. And then he gave rise to the growing church everywhere. Some churches were greater than others, and some churches became greater than others. But he said, let's build churches in the name of Jesus. Let's build churches. Now, a lot of people are saying, what can we do now that the Reformation is over? But it's never over when we have people who are unchurched. And there are many who are unchurched today. Everywhere we go, we must relive that momentum that the reformers had. Give the Bible to the people. It's relevant. And in many ways, we need to relive that. The theology of it reminds us that God is a big God. And salvation is found in Him alone. We are saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone for God's glory alone. And we know this because the Scripture tells us this. And we know that God, there's a high standard for truth when we come to God. When we read it in the Bible, we must do what it says. Because the Holy Spirit is big too. And He wants to help us in all our ways. There is the glory of God is ours if we would follow what God says. Are you a Protestant? Can you help relive what the Reformer said? Relive the moment. Relive the moment. Call God a big God and let Him be wonderful in our lives and others. Happy Sabbath, my friend.